Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne this morning, just recognizing who you truly are, the great I am, Jehovah God, our Creator, the giver of all that is good and perfect. Father, we as your people understand this day and its significance, that you have commanded us to gather upon this first day of the week to recognize first and foremost who you are, the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us that we can't even begin to count. But more importantly, Father, the spiritual blessings that we have through you. And because of that great love that you showed in sending your Son here to this earth, us seeing our Lord and Savior and his actions and his teachings and the example that he has given to us and the lives that he expects us to live. And more importantly, the hope that he gives us, Heavenly Father. We owe that all to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, we just pray that as we live and as you grant us each day that we live, Father, that we have that at the forefront of our minds. And that we strive daily, Father, to practice righteousness. Father, we're just so thankful, and I just pray that each and every one of us, as we woke up this morning, we understand how thankful and how glad we truly are to be children of yours. Father, be with us as we go through the remainder of this worship service. We pray that you're with the speaker this morning, that we listen attentively to those things that he is prepared, and Father, that we apply those things to our lives daily. And before we lay our heads upon our pillows this evening to end this day, Father, that we thank you again for your matchless love and for our Lord and Savior. I ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Jay, for that prayer. Yes, I had this lesson prepared well ahead of time because I was scheduled to bring it next week. So we're very fortunate, and Brother Robert and I were getting ready for next week. So the only other issues was no songs. So when we talk about time, been mentioned, Brother Robert mentioned in his class this morning, and Brother Jay made a point that as he in class, that growing up, studying the Old Testament was very beneficial. And this morning, many people have commented how beneficial the Old Testament was to them. And I was sitting there thinking, yes, the Old Testament brings us to Christ. Everything we see in the Old Testament, we talked about the sacrifices and everything. That was a time long, long ago. So that's what our topic is this morning, time. Time can be defined as nothing more than a finite measurement. It's based on seconds, minutes, hours, days, weeks, months, years, and so on. The other end of that is eternity. Eternity is infinite, without measurement, has no beginning, has no ending. It's everlasting, it's forever. Oftentimes we say, until the end of time. Well, when is that? Well, there's many things in the Bible that always make us think about time. I guess one of the most common thoughts it occurred to me was that we think, or we hear, one day to the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Some people can misapply that and say, well, the earth was created in 7 days, therefore it could have been 7,000 years. Well, that's not the path we're going down, and that's not what that verse was intended to make us think about. I have a story that goes with this, and it does come about as humorous, but humor is not the point. There was this hog farmer. He was out there tending to his hogs, and a feed salesman drives up. He gets out, goes over and talks to the farmer, sees how he's doing, and they're looking at the hogs and everything, and that feed salesman says, how much does that hog weigh right there? And he says, about 150 pounds. He says, how old is that hog? He says, it's about 6 months old. Well, I tell you what do you feed that hog? He says, I feed him slop, I feed him old bread, whatever's cheapest. It doesn't really matter. The feed salesman, you can see where his wheels are turning in his head. And he says, you know, if you fed my feed, my high-protein powered feed, that hog would weigh 150 pounds in 3 months. The farmer looks at him and he says, what's time to a hog? What difference does it make to him whether he weighs 150 pounds in 3 months or 6 months? Well, we know the end of that story is he gets butchered, and he would get butchered earlier. So time can be relevant to some people and not relevant to other. There might be humor in that story, but it sets the stage for our lesson. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Solomon wrote, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come, and the years draw near of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Robert mentioned this in the class this morning. In chapter 11 of Ecclesiastes, in verse 9, he says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. And in verse 10, therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. He showed the youth what they are to avoid. So in chapter 12, he tells them what they are to follow or do. He says, remember, he said, that you are not your own, but you're God's property. We are God's property. For he, God, has created you. Therefore, serve him with your all and with your best days. Not with what's left over when serving God. That can be very difficult. Serve him in your best days. Before the evil days come. The evil days are days of calamity, trials, tribulations, old age as compared to our younger days. He says, I have no pleasure in them. Pleasure is relative as your priorities. Pleasure in God continues into old age for those who continue to serve God. When we're young, oftentimes that's the last thing we think about other than, well, it's Sunday, I got to go to church. Mom and Dad are going to drag me to church. When we get older, You get into high school, you get into college, you get out on your own, you're a young adult. Your priorities, for the most part, are trying to make a living, trying to raise a family. How important is it to be with your spiritual family? How important is it as a young person to put God first in your life, in everything that you do? As you get older, and people tend to seek their fortune, how important is it for us to continue to put God first in our life? And as we get older, we think, hey, I've been retired 4 years now. I'm so happy. I guess I'm working on five. And it seems like, I was talking to a guy the other day, I had to stop and think, I've been retired 5 years. I retired in 2019. So I'm working on it. And there's a lot of y'all been retired a lot longer than me. But it seems I can still remember having to get up at 4:15 in the morning, and I'd be in the office at 5:30, and I'd leave the plant about 5 in the evening. That was on a good day. If we were in shutdown mode, sometimes I was there 24 hours, and I had a cot in my office. So it's all based on where's your priorities. When we're young and when we're mature, our priorities can be our careers. As we get older, we think, well, now I don't have to work anymore. Bobby and I were talking. Yeah, I don't even think about getting up till 6:30 or 7. And the other morning, I slept in till 8. Shame on me. But as we get older, we need to not lose that zeal, that priority for serving God. In chapter 3 of Ecclesiastes, Solomon helps us to consider what time is to man. He says, for everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven. God has set the seasons in motion, and man recognizes there is a cycle of change which God designed with a purpose. Some people say Texas only has two seasons, summer and not summer. And right now we're approaching that not summer. It's very nice. The weather is very nice. And yes, the seasons are in motion. Earthly pursuits are no doubt lawful in their proper time and order, but they are unprofitable when they are out of time and place. God allows man to enjoy his earthly gifts in moderation. The writer continues on in verse 2, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what has been planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Time. So what is time to a Christian? I would suggest to you, if I can get a hold of this thing, that time is temporary. James says in chapter 4 and 13, go now, ye say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and go and do this or that. Time is but a vapor. James says, our life will be gone in an instant before we know it. We make all types of plans. Make a grocery list, make a to-do list. We plan vacations. We plan retirements. We plan all kinds of things. And planning is good. Planning can be good or bad based on the information that we have. We do financial planning. We do health planning. We do spiritual planning, we should be. Planning to be here this evening, to come back and hear a good lesson from Brother Robert. Now that the pressure's on you, bring a good lesson. I have no doubt he will. I have plenty of confidence in Brother Robert. And time planning is very essential. At the plant, we had planners for everything. The electrical planners, we had mechanical planners, we had crew planners, all this kind of stuff. So we had a daily schedule that was planned out a week in advance until something broke, and then you had to change. But a lot of times they had emergency planning. They had the backup plan. They had plans for everything. When the plant itself, the refinery, was shut down, a lot of times, for a major shutdown, our planning began 2 and 3 years in advance for that scheduled shutdown. We had to do that a lot of times to order these, to schedule these massive cranes to come in. Large workforces, anywhere from 500 to 2,000 people. You had to schedule all this. You had to do all this planning to bring this about and make it successful. You shut a plant down, and you know it. A refinery, whether you realize it or not, can take about a week to shut down properly. You don't just flip a switch and we go to work. It's like pulling your vehicle into the oil change booth, and those guys get under there with thermal gloves, change the hot oil, and you're done in 20 minutes. A plant is not like that. It takes weeks, months, years of planning. And then it all happens around the clock, 24 hours a day. It might last 2 weeks. It might last 2 months. But then that plant comes back up, and hopefully everybody's done their job. And we have to bring the plant back online. And then you can put gasoline or diesel in your vehicle. If you're driving an electric vehicle, do not be mistaken. It depends on an oil refinery. I like the picture, and I'm sure you've seen it, of the Tesla charging station there with a diesel generator behind it. Don't get me started on electric cars. Planning. Plans change for a lot of reasons. Our plans can change because of the weather. If I'm planning to work in the yard this week and it's cold and rainy, I'm going to stay inside. If I get sick, I'm going to stay inside. And you know what? If I don't have enough money to buy some lumber for my garden, I want to do some work in my garden, I'm going to wait. So we do all kind of planning and a look ahead for what we're going to be doing. Plans are very essential. Plans are essential for serenity or peace. Plans are essential for success in things that we do. And yes, planning is definitely success essential for our salvation. We don't just happen to get saved. We don't just happen to do things like that. We need to be planning. If you haven't been baptized, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, you need to be planning to do so. If you have obeyed, you need to be planning to continue to fulfill obedience to God. Timing is important. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, Paul said, for our sake, He made him to be in sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain, for he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Every waking moment is important to a Christian. Always, always be examples of Christ so that others may see Christ in us. We know that the day of the Lord will come without warning. Paul told the Thessalonians, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And 2 Peter 3:10 uses the same terminology, as a thief in the night. In verse 11 of 2 Peter 3, Peter points out, since all these things are thus to be dissolved, the world is going to come to an end. He asks the question, what sort of people ought you to be in lives, in holiness, and godliness? Paul tells us in his letter to the Colossians in chapter 1 and verse 10, so as to walk in a worthy manner of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. We must always walk in a worthy manner. We must bear fruit, works of righteousness, and we must continually increase our knowledge. It was pointed out in class again this morning that we should never stop studying the Old Testament. The Old Testament brings us to Christ. It helps us to understand the New Testament. We should never stop growing. Time is a moment. Ephesians 5 and 15, Paul said, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of your time. Because the days are evil, therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Time is brief. As I mentioned earlier at the beginning, growing up, we measured time in seconds, minutes, and hours and days. You watch a sporting event now, basketball comes to mind. What do you see on that clock? You see it in tenths. You see it decimals. And when you start talking about computers and the speeds, we even have nanoseconds. Have you ever looked up what a nanosecond is? It can only be understood in my mind by telling me it's 1/1,000,000,000th of a second. That's how fast these computers run today. Oh, it takes 1 nanosecond. That's not even a half a blink of an eye. But that's where we've grown. Look back at the sundial. Oh, what time is it? Well, the shadow is it. About 12:30, okay? And now we talk about nanoseconds. We even talk about microseconds. In Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 15 and 52, he says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, is that a nanosecond? At the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall all be changed in the blink of an eye. Our walk here on earth is but a brief moment. The Hebrew writer in chapter 12 and 11 says, for the moment, all discipline seems painful. American Standard and King James says grievous rather than pleasant. All discipline seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. When we were growing up and we misbehaved, our parents usually administered corporal punishment in the form of what we used to call a whooping. Or in school, they would say, we're going to apply the Board of Education, I can hear y'all saying it in your minds, to the seat of knowledge. I always wondered how that connection was made. Some people may feel like living here on earth is a punishment all in itself, but it's a person's opportunity to be pleasing to the Lord. It is our opportunity to be pleasing to the Lord. In regards to that corporal punishment and growing up, I can remember my brother. I had an older sister. She's 7 years older than me, and I had an older brother 10 years older than me. So the sand brown belt, that's what it was referred to. I remember seeing it hanging in my parents' closet. It was this long belt. And from what I could gather of the history of that belt, my dad was in the Army during World War II. He was stationed in El Paso. And from what I gathered, that was his Army belt. But it was always referred to as, I'm going to get the Sam Brown belt and wear you out. And that type of corporal punishment always stuck with me. Now, I don't mean I didn't get to see it in action, but I always remember growing up like that. I remember as I got older that Sam Brown belt became shorter. And I remember looking in there at one time, and as best I could remember, it was about that long. By the time I was probably about 15 or 16. So I got very familiar with it. Excuse me. Time is an eternity. 2 Corinthians 4:16. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. As we read through the Old Testament, we're looking back to the things that are unseen for us. For the things that are seen are transient. That means they're short-lived. The things that we see today, short-lived. But the things that are unseen are eternal. For we know that if the tent, our body, that is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, eternal, lasting forever, our soul. Paul continues with that thought in chapter 5. He says, for we know that if the tent that is our earthly home is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling. If indeed by putting it on, we may not be found naked, for while we are still in this tent, we're grown, being burdened. Not that we would be unclothed, but that we would further be clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared for us this very thing is God, who has given us the Holy Spirit as a guarantee. So, we are always of good courage. We know that while we are always of good, We know that while we are always of good courage, we know that while we are at home in this body, we're away from the Lord. Yes, we're walking around here on the earth, and where is God? He's in heaven. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please. That's our duty. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one of us may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether that be good or evil. Well, we've been using our songbooks this morning. If you would like to turn to 312. Number 312. There was a song written in 1904. It says, "Hold to God's unchanging hand." Number 312. "Time is filled with swift transition. Naught of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Hold to God's unchanging hand. Trust in him who will not leave you, whatsoever years may bring. If by earthly friends forsaken, still more closely to him cling. Covet not this world's vain riches that so rapidly decay. Seek to gain the heavenly treasures. They will never pass away. When your journey is completed, if to God you have been true, fair and bright the home in glory your enraptured soul will view. Hold to God's unchanging hand." Sometimes when you read things like that and you consider the seriousness that the writer, being just a man, without a doubt got those from the scriptures and the ideas. Sorry, I didn't realize I had put that in there. You can get emotional. When we stop and consider the seriousness of the time that we're afforded on this earth, and it's not just to enjoy ourselves, although there is no sin in enjoying ourselves, but we have a responsibility, and that's why we're gathered here this morning, to fill our responsibility to God, to worship him in spirit and in truth. We have that responsibility, because when time is considered as temporary, as important, it's just a moment. We have no guarantee of how much time we have. But in the end, when this earth is consumed, we will be answering to God for an eternity. As we consider those things, Doug has chosen song number 815. If there's anyone that's subject to the invitation this morning, we'd offer that invitation. If you need to be baptized in obedience to the gospel, if you need to the prayers of the congregation, we offer that as we stand and sing.